What's up, podcasters? Sorry, no show this week. I am out and about doing suburban things, living that suburban life. That's right, this is Jim. I figured I would check in, though, in case you haven't heard my pestering. Here's a little piece of my side sister cousin show. Shows what you know. It's a podcast about TV shows, and we go over Steven Universe in this episode. Figured it worked because, you know, we loved hearing about how gay that show was. So let's just find out just exactly how gay things can get.
We are shows what you know. We'll always watch TV. And if you think we can't, we'll watch more and you'll see. That's why the people of the web believe in Jim from Las Vegas and Jacob from Sweden.
Oh, wow. Magical. What an amazing open. Welcome to shows
what you know.
I don't even know why I bothered trying to follow that intro. Wow, I'm in awe right now.
Good. That's going to be the standard intro when I can't be arsed, can't be bothered to do a special one. That's probably going to be the standard one because I think it sums us up. I'm Jacob from Sweden, by the way.
Hi, I am Jim from Las Vegas.
Yes, and I'd say we're shows what you know, but you already know. You found out in the intro, in the song, just like they do often enough in a funny little show called Steven Universe that we're here to talk about today. How are you feeling today, Jim? You're in my world. You're on my turf now. We've done horror and mysteries. Are you sick to your stomach? Are you out of your element? Are you shaking?
I am a bit out of my element. And I know this is probably late pass for a lot of people out there because season one of Steven Universe is what? Two, three years ago now?
It went on for a while. It's like 50 episodes or whatever. So I can't say for sure, but it's been a while. And it's late pass. And by the way, on that subject, talking about spoilers, there's not a lot of hard spoilers for Steven Universe, especially season one. Not a lot happening there except like slow building development. And I think there's like one thing that it's better if you don't know going into it as a new viewer. So we'll save that for a bit later in the episode. And even if you know that, it doesn't really matter. But we'll let you know before we discuss that thing. But otherwise, we will be talking about the plot just from the get-go, I think. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes sense. Although I will say from my point of view, if you're not getting what we're talking about here, Jacob's already well versed in Steven Universe. I had just kind of heard of it in passing. I'd never seen it. This is my first rodeo, if you will.
Yeah.
I did not realize that this show had a storyline.
Sure, that makes sense.
And honestly, the first like 20 episodes would not even prove otherwise.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in a weird way, like that, because you kept saying, "Oh, if you're not able to get all of them, make sure you watch these ones." And I was like, "What the fuck does that mean? This show doesn't have a thing. There's no thing going on. Who cares? Just watch whatever you want."
Yeah.
I just assumed you were actually telling me to watch some of the more like the funnier episodes or something. I honestly, even when you kept saying like make sure you watch these ones, I had no idea that there was actually anything going on in this show.
Wow, because some of those are specifically not the best ones, but it's like, well, he has to see this to get it. Has your opinion changed now that you've caught up a bit?
Yes, it was quite a journey. It was quite a journey with this show. Honestly, for a lot of the beginning, I did not like this show.
I can imagine.
And it's probably a lot of it's my fault more than anything. And I'm sure this is kind of like what, you know, some dude out there is doing about Gilmore Girls. He's like, Gilmore Girls. I've seen the cover art. I've seen the title.
Yeah.
I've heard the song. I'm not gonna watch that. I'm a dude.
You are a dude.
Yeah, and I was kind of like that because I was just like, it's just another these Cartoon Network shows. I appreciate what they are, but I don't feel like sitting down and watching them. Like Adventure Time's another show that I've seen. I've probably only seen like one or two, and I like it, but not enough where I'd sit there and watch all of them. And maybe it's the same thing. Maybe that show has a storyline. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't.
Sure. Well, let me tell you, if I can cut in real quick. For those who don't know, this show, Steven Universe, actually spawned out of Adventure Time, more or less, because Rebecca Sugar, who is the showrunner on this, she wrote a lot of the most fan-loved episodes of early Adventure Time, and her call sign, sort of, was almost always putting a song in, some of which became sort of iconic. And yes, there is a storyline, even though Adventure Time also follows the same 10-minute format. That's why also there's so much music in Steven Universe, because that's where it all came from.
I did know that she had worked on it. I didn't realize that she was kind of responsible for a lot of the songs and stuff. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So not all of them, just a few that enough where they said, hey, do you have any ideas for a show? And she was like, yeah, of course. So the overall plot, as you said, pretty much invisible from the start. And then sort of more bits and pieces are revealed in Steven Universe. And they're sort of going along. First, it seems like everything's just bizarre and fun. And they're playing with all the magical girl tropes and every trope ever, sort of just playing around with it. And then it feels to me like they grow the rules of the universe, what's going on. And then... yeah, I mean, just the plot, an overall plot growing incrementally through self-contained short stories. I feel like that's probably the best way to do it. It's just because these episodes are 10 minutes instead of something like Buffy the Vampire Slayer that has an over, you know, a thing that goes across the whole season and then also within each episode. Because it's 10 minutes, it's probably more likely to seem like nonsense, whatever, going on all the time, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, I guess I just had preconceived notions just based off like the way people talk about the show.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not blame. This is my fault. I know. I understand that this is my own biases and my own ignorance, and it's not a good thing. Because I'd heard people talk about this in the same breath of, say, like a social justice-y show.
Mm-hmm.
And me being like a shitlord, I guess.
Yeah.
I just kind of judged it on that, which isn't fair. It's not right. I shouldn't do that. Like, I wouldn't like someone doing that about something that I like, so I shouldn't do that. So this was a good test in that. Because, honestly, the first episode, I was watching it from the point of view of, like, oh, everyone acts like this show is so, like, groundbreaking with story, like, diversity or whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah, no one's ever seen, like, a lame idiot dad. I was like, what is this? What is so groundbreaking about this?
Sure.
You've never seen a schlubby dad and a stupid kid? So it definitely, if you'd never watched the show and maybe you're an idiot like me, and it's a reminder of, like, genre shows. Like, we talked a bit about Preacher and how, you know, the first season of a lot of genre shows, you have to kind of suffer through a bit just to get to, like, the really good stuff.
Yeah.
And it's kind of their version of that. I mean, it's still very strong through most of the show, but it didn't really, like, it started winning me over with a lot of the humor. I did like a lot of the humor. And then it completely won me over when they started getting more into the mythology and, like, the background of the characters and the universe. The actual universe, not Steven Universe.
Well, like, color me fucking relieved, because totally a possibility for us to sit here and talk about how you hate this show. That was certainly a possibility, even though I had an inkling that it might turn you around at least a little bit, at least enough there that we'll have an interesting conversation about it. Because, yeah, I've been about Steven Universe, as one would say. There's not many things that I get to be on the ground floor of. There was, like, Game of Thrones. I read the first book before the show, and then I watched the first episode as it came out, and then I watched every episode every week. And same with Breaking Bad. It just happened to catch the pilot and then caught on and was with it from day one. Steven Universe is the third and final one. I watched the pilot way before the show even existed. Well, not way before, but it was kind of before. And let me tell you, I was not sold. I was not sold from the pilot, but I was there and I kept watching and I fell in love. And it's hard because I feel like in shows, which, you know, when we're sort of pitching shows back and forth, it's easy to get into that trap where, yeah, you're in love with a show, but it's hard to recreate that experience for someone else. Yeah, yep. You know, those are shows that you feel protective towards, and you have to go like, yeah, but have you seen this episode, and so on? And also, as you said about the social justice stuff, this is the cartoon turf, the deadliest of turfs, where fans are more rabid and insane than anywhere else for some reason. So I can totally get why you'd come into this with some preconceived notions. Oh, we haven't told the listeners what this show is about, by the way.
Yeah, that would help.
Probably. So, got a synopsis here. And reading the synopsis kind of... yeah, I could see what you'd think of it from the synopsis. It says, the Crystal Gems are a team of magical beings who are the self-appointed guardians of the universe. Half-human, half-gem hero Steven is the little brother of the group. The goofball is learning to save the world using the magical powers that come from his belly button. And he goes on magical adventures with the rest of the Crystal Gems, even though he's not as powerful or smart as fellow group members Garnet, Amethyst, and Pearl. Despite his shortcomings, Steven usually finds a way, a surprising way, to save the day. Just reading that, I could understand why, you know, like the belly button stuff, not necessarily super on board from that, right?
Well, it was mostly, and I didn't take notes on all the episodes because there's goddamn so many of them.
Yeah.
I mean, given they're short, so it's still... Even if you took 50 episodes, it's like kind of a 22 episode of a 20 minutes show. Whatever, you get it. Mm. But I only took notes on like the first few. And episode one, I was just like, Steven's annoying. Mm. Okay, cool, cookie cat rap. All right, we get it. Those are my notes because it definitely did not really win me over because it reminded me, again, like I said about these shows, I appreciate what they are and I like. You know, like I like that it's like this quirky thing that kids like these days or whatever. But the initial reaction was like, it's just another one of those loud Cartoon Network shows because Steven's just yelling and then this. It's like, yeah, and that. And then they rap and then they're eating fucking ice cream.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just kind of like, all right, well, there's one down, 49 to go.
Everything you said should be the synopsis instead of the synopsis I read. They rap, and I mean, it's not inaccurate. Doesn't carry the charm of it. But I mean, I had a similar experience. If I remember right, that was also like the first, like the pilot, except it wasn't animated as well. So I wasn't.
How did you see come across it?
I think I saw
before
it. I think they put it on YouTube or something like Cartoon Network YouTube. I think they were probably already making the show at that point because it wasn't too far in between it. Me seeing it and the real show coming up out. But yeah, so that's what happened.
And then like my other impression was just like, oh, okay, I get it. It's kind of like living in a video game, but not always living the action part, like the mundane real life of a video game character.
Yeah.
That's what I took from it initially. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's also kind of a big thing about the show. And I was just like, oh, I get it because I know, I guess I keep talking about this show like it's for younger kids, which I guess it is. But yeah, I get why like people in their 20s and adults will still watch it as well. But it's because it has that... that video game aura, it's so tied into it with the way the music is, the design of it, the adventures they go on, the way that it's kind of modeled after video game dungeons and levels, etc.
Yeah, and the music is like sometimes straight up chiptune video game music because it's made by this duo that do piano/chiptune music. In the end, I think the music is pretty great and versatile because it goes from like blip blop blip blip to emotional piano pieces, just talking about the background stuff going on.
Like first episode I was like, we get it. Episode two, Steven's dad is a piece of shit, we get it. Episode three, I loved my only note is Mr. Queasy. I love Mr. Queasy as a toy of Steven's, that if shaken, he'll say things like, oh, kid, don't shake me.
Forgot about
that. I had to look it up real quick because all I wrote was Mr. Queasy. I was like, wait, why did I like Mr. Queasy? I will say that the episode that started to really win me over was episode five, which has Fribo and how like the gems take over the Fribo costume and it kind of becomes like a horror movie.
Oh, interesting.
Because it, I think there's a lot of elements it shares with the way it takes on sci-fi and stuff like Rick and Morty in a way.
Yeah.
And those are always some of my favorite episodes. I know I'm jumping around a bit.
That's fine.
But I'm just kind of guiding through my, like, how the show started to win me over. Because initially, yeah, the first few episodes, I was just kind of, I wasn't hating it, but I wasn't loving it.
Sure.
I was just kind of like, all right, cool, okay. And then I slowly started to love it.
Such a relief again. I love hearing that. Just say it one more time. My heart, it swells. So yeah, it's really interesting that since they have so many episodes, sometimes episodes that felt like filler to me will be the ones that really hit for someone else. For instance, Fribo, because not one of my favorites at all.
Yeah.
But it's like, because they do so many episodes and they have kind of free reign on a lot of it, they have a chance to go in some absurd directions with the plot and also the humor of it. Like, I think Cat Fingers is another episode.
That was the next one. And it kind of started the ball rolling because I had liked what they were doing in the one beforehand. Then I liked the next one because it had the finger cats. And it becomes more of a thing later on. But I just love the it was just a quick quote in this episode when Ronaldo says, keep Beach City weird.
Hmm.
Because it's just, you know, it's like the Austin thing, like keep Austin weird. And yeah. I think like people that say stuff like that are douches. And I got the feeling that they were kind of making fun of that. So yeah. I really, because I made a note, I liked that. That was one of my favorite quotes.
Cool. And for those who don't know, Cat Fingers is the plot of that episode. Just to give you a feel of a general Steven Universe episode, this crystal gems can transform into things, but since Steven is only a half crystal gem, he's not sure if he can. He eventually managed to turn into a cat, except it's only his finger that turns into a cat. And then all his fingers turn into cats, and they all are hungry and annoyed when he tries to wash his hands or accidentally. And then he progressively turns into not a cat, into thousands of cats, into a monster of kittens. Yeah. That is, and they really go weirdly dark with it, where he's like, help! And his father is like freaking out because he's a normal human. He doesn't know what the fuck is going on. So there's a lot of like moments like that where he's like, what?
It turns into like a body horror thing almost, like The Fly or something, but he just keeps branching little kitty cats out of his different parts of his body.
Yeah, and that's like, yeah, this is a pretty standard episode of Steven Universe. If that sounds good to you, that's good.
And they do the thing that I love, but I didn't realize they were doing it. And I think, like, I mean, other shows have done this before. I guess I just didn't expect it because, like I was saying, I didn't think there was a storyline.
Sure.
But then all of a sudden, you know, about 20-something episodes in, it's like, oh, no, all this other stuff that happened earlier that seemed like nothing. No, it was kind of important. It was kind of building blocks of what's going on because you realize that the enemies they are fighting are gems and they're keeping them in wherever they keep them in those bubbles. And it all kind of starts to pay off. And then even like the cheeseburger backpack, which is like the third episode I watched, like that comes back because, you know, there was a thing he didn't have in his that he forgot, of course, because he packed his cheeseburger backpack with things like his dumb toys and Mr. Queasy instead of the amulet or whatever the statue he was supposed to bring.
Yeah.
So I like when they sneak that in. The only thing the one bum out, and I'm glad. I mean, one of the reasons why I'm glad we do this show is I probably wouldn't have lasted that long.
Sure.
In real life. If I just kind of like, oh, I'll check this out. But I'm glad I stuck through and I'm glad I watched it. And I'm still behind where everyone else is at. I still got to go through that old season two and get caught up with where we're at now with season three.
Yeah. I think that I enjoy that as well about this show. And you, the listener, also can have this possibility of there's shows I would not have looked into as much. And it's always interesting one way or another, but I'm glad you liked it. And talking about how they make the show, like the look of the show, it's kind of casual, right? The animation pretty loose sometimes. They don't really care that much about realism. Emotion sort of takes precedent. Think maybe partly because the storyboard artists are also the writers on this show. So the plot is created in conjunction with, together with, like, the script. So it's never like, and then he does a goofy face in the script or, like, whatever. I think animations, some animators complain about writers, some writers of animation complain about animators who, like, where the magic comes in. In this case, they're one and the same, and they actually collaborate to get it out there. I think it works pretty well.
Yeah, because there'll be sometimes when, like... Steven will make a face, but he doesn't really look like Steven because it's all like, or he looks like a little kid drew Steven.
Yes.
Because he's all like stretched and weird. But yeah, you're right. It just, it works though, because whatever moment or something they're trying to sell, it works. But yeah, it definitely does look kind of fast and loose, but it just kind of fits in with the tone and the, like the humor and even like, surprisingly, the drama, I mean, obviously there's not a lot, but the drama of the show really works for me too. And I like what they do with, I like how they have like, I mean, first of all, they have a non-traditional family, which I end up really liking how they play that. And I like how they play with any of the things that start to touch on Steven's mom, I liked the most. I really like that and how Steven is this character that loves everything and he's super positive and endearing. And in the beginning, yeah, I said he's annoying, but then I came to love the character and I like his reactions to things and it always stayed true to Steven.
Yeah.
And then when they would have these hints, though, of how, you know, it's if to the real world, there are kids out there that, you know, had a parent or had a mom die in birth or something. And it feels important to have a character who's very positive and still has that part of him that doesn't know what his mom was like and wants to know. And then also the way the people are around him, the people that did know her and miss her so much. And sometimes it's worse with Steven because he's like reminds them so much of her.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but I really liked all that stuff.
Cool. It's like you said about how could people call this so revolutionary? Because in a way, like every story about a magical kid, they're always either an orphan or at least one parent is gone.
Yeah, yeah,
it just happens to be like there's just it's just tweaked enough where it's the mother that is the magical being in this case, and of course we've all seen a schlub father.
Yeah,
Marge in a sense is a magical mother being as well, although she's still there, and because Steven's mom is gone, it is real in a way, and even worse because he is like so
he's her.
Yeah,
kind of.
Because gems don't reproduce in the regular way, she gave up her life essence to become Steven.
Yeah.
We're not 100% on how that works, but yeah. And speaking of like no nuclear family, some people will sort of the inciting incident of how I could set forth my master plan to con Jim into watching this show. There was a well-known rapper, Boosie, talking about how all the cartoons are gay nowadays. Everything's so gay. They're making people gay.
Yes. And a lot of people brought up Steven Universe as an example.
Yeah. And like the thing is, even though there's stuff that is like literally gay, the most gay things are on a deeper level, sort of breaking apart. There's no nuclear family, like you said. There's a non-traditional family. He's raised as a younger sibling son-ish type thing. There's like a mix, and it's showing not just that, but showing like other types of love, other family constellations. That's something you would sort of not think of as the most gay thing, but just there's just these things spread throughout, like Stevani and androgynous fusion character. And
yeah, well, I mean, for people that don't know, the most obvious thing that they point to is the fusion, because two of the gem characters can fuse together to make a new character, basically.
Yes.
And it does, sometimes they are obviously playing it up as sex. Other times they're not. Other times it is more of just kind of a like a deeper friendship. Where is it going with this? Oh, and the one of the biggest ones, and again, since I'm season one and I don't know like where else things are going, I know there's a lot more episodes I have to watch. It wasn't quite Fusion, but one of my favorite episodes was when they show how Pearl reacts to Steven because she thought that Rose was like hers and they shared everything. But then she's finding out their secrets and stuff maybe she didn't know. And also she reacts to Steven a certain way. So they definitely hint at a very strong relationship between Pearl and Rose. And I think I've accidentally read some spoilers. I guess spoilers if you haven't watched Steven Universe, just real quick, that there's some sort of potential flashback where Pearl and Rose fuse and Pearl like stares Steven's dad down while they're doing it to kind of cuck him out, I guess.
Kinda. That does happen.
At least that's what people on Reddit were saying.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen it. I'm only quoting Reddit. I anticipate getting to that episode and making my own judgments.
Sure. When I say that does happen, I'll say that's definitely an interpretation you can make of it if one wants to make that interpretation. Sure. Yeah.
And back on the fusion thing, the first song that I really loved was Giant Woman. I love that song.
Oh, good.
I liked that. That was kind of the first introduction to the fusion of the characters or whatever, because Steven's never seen it and they're talking to him about it. And I like the reveal because is that one Opal? Is that the name of the character? I forget.
I think so. The fusion between Amethyst and Pearl. Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Cool.
And then I guess on the where are you at as far as the fusion is sex?
Well, I mean, it's like in Buffy the Vampire Slayer where there's magic, and as the show progresses, they can make magic symbolize different things. And clearly, a fusion is something you can only do with someone you have a connection with. Or, well, not clearly, not quite, but it is reliant on that, and it is forging a deeper connection. Now, it's clearly not sex. They're fusing together in order to become bigger and more powerful and fight other people. At the same time, I can see how it's an expression of affection. I really don't know sometimes what to say because people freak out over the weirdest things and they censor the strangest things, and this is people dancing and then they become one person. So I guess that's bad. Did no one watch Dragon Ball Z? I don't think they actually censored when Trunks and Goten got fused together into what Goten Trunks or whatever the fuck it's called.
Or Voltron.
Or Voltron. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we're mostly talking about other people's perception and kind of the... Because I've heard these theories before I watched the show. Because like you had said, there was this video we were goofing on. I mean, we weren't agreeing with Boosie. Boosie was saying that cartoons are making kids gay, and we were goofing on it. And a few people had pointed out Steven Universe. And yeah, if you look online, there are a lot of people that discuss this theory like over and over again. And I could see where sometimes, and I think the Buffy analogy, that's a great point, because it can symbolize that in some cases. But yeah, I don't think it's just cut and dry, because then and then what, Steven and Connie,
yeah, they fuse.
So like a couple 12-year-olds just have sex. I mean, I guess it is a progressive show. 12-year-old kids do have sex. Spoiler alert, there is a point where they do fuse together. That was an interesting episode because it was like there was some creeper. She goes to a dance to dance, and then there's a weird creeper there. That one was kind of losing me a little bit.
Okay.
I guess that's like, that was kind of, I don't know, a female's perspective of being creeped out by dudes at a dance and just trying to be with your friends, I guess. I don't know.
It's really interesting because almost every episode that you've said is a favorite of yours is not a favorite of mine, and that one is a favorite of mine. So, I mean, not to get all into our different camps and start destroying each other like these people always do who are fans of things. You have to hate. I'm glad that you have a different perception of it.
Well, and to be fair, I'm not really saying I didn't like it. Keep in mind some of these episodes I saw after I was watching like nine, it was like my ninth episode in a row.
Yeah.
So at that point, because that episode's kind of trippy and shit. And so at that point, I was just kind of like, all right, it's either late or I've watched too much Steven Universe. It's like 2 in the morning and I'm on my 10th episode.
That has happened to me as well. Now, with Stevani, I see them. I'm not gonna pretend like I'm going to use the proper fucking pronoun here. But Stevani is more of an androgynous character, and sort of that episode to me explores like being comfortable in your own skin. And
that's interesting because I totally read Stevani as a female character. If we get into discussing that, I was surprised at how feminine they made it.
Yeah.
They made it. I'm not meaning it as a insult, but how feminine they made that character.
Yeah, you meant it, the process of it, of course. Well, yeah, it's interesting because also, speaking about that, the gems, like when you were goofing on Boozy, and I thought of Steven Universe immediately when I heard that, and then someone called into your show, Jim and Them, and was talking about Steven Universe, and I would have called in and talked about Steven Universe as well, except he was saying all the wrong things. Like, he'd seen the show, but his interpretation felt like that of someone who has read the Wikipedia under the controversy tab and then went, yeah, of course that's what it is, and not actually watched it.
I gotta listen to that again, because it didn't come off as the way people were talking about this show, and that had nothing to do with my preconceived notions. I don't care if the show has gay characters. I don't want that to get twisted.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the way people are talking about this show, they were trying to spell it out like it was so obvious that there were just lesbians and gay sex on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, like we said, you could take that reading, especially in specific cases, but I don't feel like that's quite what they're going for all the time.
Yeah, not at all. And our friend Mike Steele explained it as talking about the gems, these people are aliens, so they're not women at all. Speaking about the gems, though, I feel like that's true. They are aliens. They're not. They technically don't have any gender, but that's like talking about the Asari in Mass Effect. You know, these blue-skinned alien babes who are super sexy, and yeah, they don't technically have a gender, but they're created by men on Earth, and you sort of have to look at it through that lens. Isn't it a coincidence that they all look like human women and want to screw everything because of how their genetics work? Not talking about the gems, talking about the Asari here. And well, depends on what fanfics you read.
We're going inside. We're going deep.
Yeah, and so you have to sort of consider who made them and why, and the thought behind it. So I'm not saying I dislike the Asari or the gems for presenting, you know, alien characters as a gender of something on Earth, but viewing it through a wider lens, you can get a better picture of what's going on, like viewing the whole show and getting more of an input, because if you only look at little clips, it's easy to get that reading of like, oh, this is a gay show. And even if people say that, like, I want to agree, because it's like, that's not a bad thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
So
yeah,
it's
not a bad thing.
And that's like, yeah, of course, but like, what am I, like, the gay parts are like being open and progressive and loving each other. I was at Stockholm Pride the other week. I'm still still throwing up rainbows. So
and yeah, not so much the gay stuff, but when I had heard it kind of pitched as like a social justice-y show, given I know that's not a bad thing. That shouldn't mean a bad thing. The only reason why I thought it was a bad thing is because usually that's handled very clumsily and preachy.
Yeah.
So I was just concerned that it was just one of those shows that, instead of trying to entertain you, was just trying to constantly preach at you. And
sure.
I mean, I liked it. I love it, because I'm down with a show that's social justice-y if it's entertaining and it's just, you know, handled really well. And that's what this show does. So that's why it's a good show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of those shows where if you hear something is social justice-y, that's not like an endorsement of its quality. That's just talking about that makes it sound like this show preaches to you Not yes. like Preacher, but like a,
yeah. yeah.
It does it in a bad way. It's sort of shoving things down your throat. And in this case, when people are talking about the social justice aspects, it's there, but it's really the fans they're talking about. They're talking about the fans and specifically the extremist part of the fandom, because as I said before, this is the cartoon turf where shit gets fucked up sometimes because people don't know where to draw lines. Can I give you an example?
In animation. They don't know where to draw lines in animation?
Totally intentional. I shall right. go to my yes. grave never admitting that that was unintentional.
I would, yes, I'd like an example.
This is directly from Wikipedia, so I'm doing what I said you shouldn't do. Go to Wikipedia and just read controversy. This is not going to give you a correct view of the show, but it's worth bringing up after all this discussion. In 2015, a fan who drew fan art of Steven Universe and other fictional characters was made subject to a cyberbullying campaign through the social blogging platform Tumblr and attempted suicide. The reason for the harassment... I mean, so far, so good, right? Seems like standard everyday on Tumblr stuff. The reason for the harassment was that her art altered the appearance of characters in ways that were deemed objectionable. For instance, her drawing of the voluptuous Rose, that's Steven's mother, as a thin woman was criticized as fatphobic by other fans.
Here we go.
So, sure... Cyberbullying is a concept that can be very dangerous or not at all dangerous, and it's played up or played down. But yeah, someone did attempt suicide because they drew a picture of a character and didn't make her voluptuous enough. So yep. people hated on that to the point where, again, I'm not 100% convinced. I'm not 100% convinced you can push a button and make someone commit suicide like that. Or yeah, but the point is, what the fuck, right?
Yeah,
that's the point.
Of course.
And that's essentially what the showrunners said when asked about this. What the fuck? Because they never said. Go after people and make them turn them into pariahs for making fan art that is not the type of fan art that you would like to see. That's not what the show is about. But that's always going to happen where there's this extremist side to something. You know.
Yes, and the weird thing is it feels like if you're bullied by the quote accepting people, it feels like that would feel worse.
Yeah.
Than like if you're bullied by like. You know, the Nazis or something.
It
sucks, but you're like, oh, these are bad people. You know
this,
what I mean? Like,
this
of
makes
course.
Sense.
But meanwhile, like Steven Universe, the fandom, it must seem like they're so accepting and love everything and very open-minded. So if you do something to make them angry, you have to feel like you're the worst person in the world.
Yeah.
And I guess, yeah, time to off yourself.
And I really think this is a very small subset.
But
they're sort of rolling into a mob mentality. It's what happens online, you know. But
it happens with everyone.
This is a show partly for children. So people with very strong emotions and not super clear, like, lines drawn in their lives. And
well,
they're
especially,
not...
especially if the person being bullied just a kid and they're being bullied by all these people in their 20s.
Yes. Don't you understand that this is fat phobic? It's like, I just can't draw properly. I tried.
Stick figure.
Jesus.
How dare you draw Rose Quartz? Is it Rose Quartz?
Yes.
As a stick figure. Mm-hmm. And that's what that's one thing. You want to talk about how progressive this show is? Why isn't Steven's name Steven Quartz?
That's a good point.
But he's just going to take his dad's name just because? Come on. Cindy Sugar or whatever her name was. Rebecca Sugar.
Yes. His dad did have a cooler name, but he could be, well, Quartz Universe doesn't sound great. Universe Quartz?
No, it'd be Steven Quartz, not Steven Universe.
No, I'm trying to combine them. Wouldn't that be even more?
Oh, the hyphen? No, the hyphen. Yeah. Come on. That's not okay. Progressive.
Well, no hyphen. We go with Steven Uniquartz.
Oh, okay. I'm with
that's
it.
That's the most progressive thing I can imagine. Okay, so I do have some other stuff from Wikipedia we could go through before we wrap up here. So fans of Steven Universe have campaigned against censorship of the series' representation of LGBT relationships in countries other than the United States. The fan campaign persuaded Cartoon Network's French subsidiary to do a re-recording of the song Stronger Than You. This is getting into what I was saying at the beginning of the show, that there's one thing I think it's good not to know, and now we're going to talk about that. So if you don't, if you're intrigued and you don't want to know the one thing that happens at the end of the season, tune out now. But the thing is that it turns out, in a twist, I want to hear your perspective on this, but it turns out that Garnet, one of the main gems that we know and love, is actually a fusion and has been a fusion all along between two other gems. What was your reaction to that?
I thought that was interesting. I definitely, when I saw, what's the red one's name?
Ruby?
'Cause there's a, yeah, okay. Because when I saw that, I first thought it was supposed to be Garnet young, like they somehow made Garnet young again or something. Okay. I definitely saw a connection. I didn't see that coming, though. I didn't see that it was a fusion. So, yeah, I thought that was an interesting reveal. And, yeah, I liked it. It surprised me.
Yeah, kind of blew my mind. And also great song, Stronger Than You, because here's what comes up. They persuaded the French subsidiary to re-record Stronger Than You in a translation that made the singer's love as explicit as the original.
what did they change to make it not...
I don't know, but I guess they did it at first, did a version of that song where in the original, Garnet expresses her love for herself in a more clear way, and they must have changed that, so they changed it back. And there's a few of these where I didn't know about this one, but Swedish fans launched a protest after Flirting Between Gems was changed about an episode that you haven't seen yet, so on. And yeah, I mean,
so did they get these things changed?
I guess, or no, not this one, but it is weird. Honestly, I don't know how or why you'd change it. It's, that's where it gets weird to me, because I don't really understand it.
Yeah, it's hard to say if the changes are just like linguistic changes, like just because of translation, but then I don't know, who knows?
I think this one, well, yeah, with the song you have to rhyme as well, Jesus, so you have to change something, but yeah, with the Swedish one, I can imagine they must have changed it, which I wouldn't have thought they would have done. I mean, we're Sweden, you know, progressive, all the gays and all that, but I guess they changed it.
I'm surprised that, yeah, they're not, So the U.S. has the original, and then other places are changing it? That is weird.
Exactly. according to Rebecca Sugar, the series' LGBT representation is not intended to make a point, but to help all children understand themselves and develop their identity. Queer youth deserve to see themselves in stories as much as other children, and given the pervasive heteronormativity, not allowing them to do so could be harmful. I couldn't agree more. But
yeah, that's fine, but also it's just weird because with stories, because even this, like, yeah, it's heavily, it's strongly influenced in some cases, or at least, I can't think of the word, but it's not like, it's not direct. It's not, it's not explicit. So, I mean, in the same vein, it's not just that someone who's an LGBT teen or kid or something, just someone who feels like an outcast, like a nerd or someone, not outcast the show.
No. This is so funny how much we can do that. I love that. One word titles, they're the best. I love them.
And I mean, I'm not even disagreeing with what she's saying, but it's just interesting to specify that and say they need to see themselves when, I mean, I guess at that point, then why you should just literally have queer characters, you know? I don't know. It just sounds like if you're saying it like that, it should just go the whole way.
Wow.
Whereas with what she's doing, you know, if you're a member of the LGBT community, you could look at any outcast character and kind of see yourself on the screen, just someone who doesn't fit in.
Yes,
if you're feeling that way.
Although it's made more clear later on that Ruby and Sapphire are definitely in a relationship, romantic relationship. So
fair enough. Yeah, I'm only at season one.
Sure.
So I mean, that's fine.
But yeah, as you said, it's all under the surface stuff, and in a way, I think that's the part where I feel like people who are against that sort of thing will pick apart at the tiny, like, details of it, but the real message is under the surface, and you can't hack apart, like, the love that the family of the gems have for each other. Like, you can't, like, that part is still, that's the foundation of the whole story, and that's why it works either way, with giving positive messages like that.
Plus, if you are the type of person to pick apart and try to, like, shut down a story like that because it has gay characters, you might as well go after just any character about someone who should be... Like, just a story about someone on the outside who should be accepted and feel loved. It's almost like you just go after any story. Like, yeah. Now you're just mad about stories, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a ridiculous thing to care about. I'm talking about in the other way, to try to, like, shut down, like, voices or characters just because you don't necessarily agree with it.
Yeah, and I think it's because they don't read very deeply, because people who are upset about that sort of thing are never the ones who've watched every episode of Steven Universe. They're the people who come into it like you did at the start, only knowing the surface stuff, and then they say, what, it's gay too? And he's annoying? So, double, like, if you're against that, can you imagine how annoyed you'd be?
Anyways, but okay, before we finish up, I don't want to keep getting bogged down on that stuff, because it's all handled really well.
Yeah, and sorry to interrupt, but just us talking about it, we've talked about it too much because it's not that important. It's just a good show.
And it's all handled very well. And I would feel like even if you disagreed with it, you'd be hard to say that it's a bad show. Or it's a bad thing that. For people out there to identify with if they're looking for some representation, whatever. But let's get back into when it starts to get into more of a serialized story like about halfway through. Because you had a few episodes, like you called out some episodes.
I didn't think you'd watch all of them, so I did give you like the essential rundown of the plot.
And I'm glad I did watch all of them, because there are a few that you didn't have that... I could see why you would leave them off, but I still felt like they were important.
Yeah.
Like with the when Steven first finds like that monster that he tries to help, and they're trying to kill it.
Yeah.
And that's when you kind of learn that they're all gems, and like gems can turn into weird evil monsters. And I loved when the mirror episode was great. I mean, you had that one, of course. That's a very important one. Yeah. I like that character. What's the name of the character?
I'm blanking, right? Lapis Lively.
Yeah, I like that character. When they started opening it up and you started learning about the gems, and then even when they started hinting, like, maybe don't trust Steven, maybe you shouldn't trust the gems you're with, and it started getting more that they were hiding things from him.
Yeah.
I liked all that stuff, and I'm looking for, well, the only thing that didn't make sense to me, because there's an episode earlier where Pearl wants to build a spaceship to go back to homeworld.
Oh yeah.
But then later on, it doesn't make sense. It's like, oh, because then she's like, we can never go back. They'll kill us. They hate us. So it didn't make sense why she wanted to go back. That was the only thing that felt out of place to me.
That's a good point. I don't remember much from that episode, although I do seem to remember her going completely insane in that episode. So maybe that had something to do with it. But later she's like the one who's like, oh no, because Lapis Lazuli, like the episode ends with Lapis Lazuli flying into space with wings made of water. And the gems are like... ah, shit. And we're like, what do you mean, ah, shit? What's happening? And things develop from there. That wouldn't make sense. She wouldn't want to go back there if she knew what was good for her. But Pearl's a bit crazy sometimes.
I do like that. I like I liked all the personalities of the gems and their little quirks. Yeah. I like the reveal of kindergarten with Amethyst. Yeah. And I feel like that's probably going to pay off more. Again, I'm in that like I'm a little baby that's, you know, being held right now that doesn't know where things are going, like people listening or even you.
Uh-huh.
I really like that, cuz it fit. It's like, oh, of course, with the way they make Amethyst up till, you know, 40 episodes, wherever it might be, it all fits in, like, oh, okay, so that's why she's a little bit different than the other two, than the rest of them.
Yeah.
And I love Lion. Lion's the greatest.
Yes. And like you said about Amethyst, they can have this is a show where they can have a character who's acting like crazy and fun and then has a mental breakdown, and it doesn't feel stupid to have them now suddenly have emotions. It's more like all that stuff was building or showing different sides of the character.
And I thought it was really interesting, the episode. They didn't, I mean, I assume they're going to go back to this, where they hinted at Steven's dad and Amethyst's past when they kept watching. And I love the show they were watching, Lil Butler.
Yeah.
Some of the humor is really good. I didn't expect that. I expected it to be, like, sort of funny. But some of the stuff I was really impressed with. I loved the Lil Butler sitcom. But they kind of hinted at this weird jealousy of Amethyst and Steven's mom. And then when she turns into Steven's mom, it's like really, like a really impactful moment. And I was always surprised when the show would hit me with stuff like that, or even the VHS tape that Steven watches, that his mom recorded of her and a dad, like, on the beach, and saying how, you know, you got to protect this planet and you're the best of me and them. And, you know, it is almost like eyes watering up in like a silly 12-minute show. So
I felt something just now when you just said that. So yes. And it is like, speaking of which, another of their self-referential jokes, there's something about like crying cabbages or something. Like, they're watching a show in the show that's about crying vegetables, and they're like, who wants to watch a cartoon about everyone just crying?
Yeah.
And then that's what's happening by the end of the episode. Everything's awful. Another episode I threw away, which not important for the plot, but it is one of my favorites and the first one I usually show people. Probably guarantee that you will have hated it or thought it was a filler episode. Steven and the Stevens.
No, I was going to bring it. I was actually going to bring it up, but we were talking about the more emotional ones.
Yes.
So I love Steven and the Stevens. So that very much reminded me of a Rick and Morty type thing.
Yes.
I mean, not that I feel like they're, I mean, it was before Rick and Morty or something, or at least at the same time.
Yeah.
Not that I feel like it's ripping it off or something, but that I love that. Like, I love that take on kind of the, like, a sci-fi trope. Because that was the one. It's from time travel, right?
Yes.
And then he builds his own. Yeah, he creates his own band. But since they're all Steven, and he has to write numbers on them, and no, you're the funny one.
And they all rebel against him and get emotional abuse from main Steven trying to control him. So they start a punk rock band instead. And it all, like, in 12 minutes, like, time travel, like you said, it's a super worn out trope, but they do something with it that gets completely out of hand and absurd and extremely funny. And at the end of it, original Steven is watching, like, dozens and dozens of versions of himself die, burst into sand, and they do it in sort of a brutal way where, like, it's sort of funny and confusing where the main Stevens tells him all this wisdom and is like, arrivederci, and then he bursts into sand, like, ah! And we see the main Steven, like, his hands, there's sand spilling between him, he has this horrified expression, and then cut forward to him doing the song with his other band that he formed with the Crystal Gems, and he has this line that's like, it's super poppy and funny. It's like, I don't remember exactly, but like, Steven and the Crystal Gems were gonna make you smile. I accidentally created an alternate timeline. And it's like, I learned to stay true to myself by watching myself die.
Yes, yeah. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
That's a great episode. And then what I did watch, because on Hulu, it does go a bit beyond, if we get into the main storyline, because then we start seeing that Homeworld's trying to fix the warps, like the space warps, and the gems are very afraid of it, but they're trying to keep Steven protected. They don't want him to know that danger could be coming. And like, it ends up in this, you know, this big battle where an alien ship comes, and then who's the big gem fight.
I can't remember right now.
She's obsessed with Rose, and then she gets taken into the ocean by
Lapis Lazuli forces them. They fuse, and then Lapis Lazuli takes control and drags her into the ocean. And it's pretty weird, brutal.
Yes. And so I did see the episode after that where Steven sees how, like, his dad's kind of, you know, shaken up because he almost lost Steven and things got really intense. And then Steven is avoiding Connie because he doesn't want to tell her. And it's kind of the superhero thing of, like, I need to shut off my real life and keep them safe. And they hint at that. And anytime the show, because anytime the show has Steven almost not be Steven, it's you see, me anyways, I get scared because I'm like, oh no, Steven has to grow up. Because not only does his voice just changing. I don't know how noticeable it is in the later episodes, but in this season one, his voice completely changes by the, well, not completely, but it's much deeper by the end of the season. And so I always get worried when Steven starts to get mature and older, because I love how Steven is just innocent and happy and likes dumb things.
Yeah.
But then they have a great twist on it. We're just at the end where he's like, come and tell it to my face that you don't want to be friends anymore. And he's just bawling and he's got snot coming out of his nose.
I still want to be friends.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, whew, Steven's still Steven. Yeah. For some reason, the show really has me afraid that Steven won't be Steven eventually. Yeah. That all this stuff's going to catch up to him. And then he's just going to become, you know, just a regular dude. And they hint at it a bit in that one, an earlier episode when he keeps getting old and young and, like, based on his mood.
Oh, yeah.
And he turns into, like, an old man. And he's like, no more. I need a new shirt. And he has to get, like, what, professional, like, bikini inspector or something like that. Like, some silly shirt. And he keeps turning into an old man or puberty Steven.
That could be season five.
Yeah, but that's a big fear of mine, that because they really did get me to, going back to my notes, like, Steven is annoying. It really did get me to love Steven by the end of the first season.
Oh, good. But at the same time, he has grown up a lot in the first season, I'd say, because in earlier things, he's so selfish, sort of, like a kid is, and he's the little brother who's always getting taken care of, and at just thinking of the episode The Test, this is the one where it's sort of he goes through this test because he wants to prove that he's mature, and in the end it turns out it's a fake test, and he sees the gems all standing there, but he actually realizes that they're really worried that they're not doing a good job with him, and that everything's there, like, they're the one who needs him to take care of them, so he will pretend. He will put on a happy face and do what he needs to do right there, showing he's really growing up, but still being Steven.
Yeah, you're right, because earlier in the season, Steven would have just complained and yelled that they fixed it and didn't give him a real test. But yeah, you're right. He shows his maturity by basically putting on a face for them and making them know that they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally didn't expect to... Like, honestly, when I first started watching the show, I was like, oh, how long? We're not going to have a lot to talk about. And, like, here we are, like, almost an hour in. So,
yeah.
And that's just the first season. So I'm excited to see future episodes and get caught up with everybody else.
Good. A bit of technicality. There's an interesting thing about Steven Universe where they don't release episodes like any normal person ever would. So this goes across most Cartoon Network shows. Like, they do Steven bombs where there's no episodes. Here's a bunch of episodes, one every day. And no fan. Like, I see a lot of people complaining about this, about it not letting the show breathe and sort of. Because it also leads to longer waits between new episodes, of course. But at the same time, it does seem like they have... I mean, obviously, they have the data to support that that's a good thing, because there's always a spike in, like, people talking about it online and reviews and just new people coming in because there's so much happening at once during a Steven bomb. And right now, we're recording this during what they're calling the Summer of Steven, when they're releasing... not just one week of shows, but a whole bunch of weeks of shows. And that's sort of why we started talking about doing a shows what you know thing about Steven Universe. So we don't have an exact schedule yet, but we're definitely going to catch up and talk some more about Steven Universe. And I look forward to it. And I'm so glad you liked it, because otherwise it would be like, season two, eh? Still shit. Still thinks Jim hates it. Wouldn't be as fun.
I look forward to it, and I guess that kind of does it, right?
So
was there anything else you wanted to call out for the first season?
No, I'm so on board. I think people should watch it if any of this sounds good. I think, as didn't bring up a lot of examples, but the humor is really there, even in small moments, in ways that you don't see in other shows, really, or like other things you can't really do in other mediums. If it's not animated, maybe you're a comedy junkie who's seen every good comedy show worth seeing. Well, there is a lot of good humor in Steven Universe if you look for it, both in the plot and in like just tiny details and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, so next time we see you with see your ears, whatever. Next time we're going to talk about the second half of Outcast, switching gears a bit. So if you want to get into the spoiler talk with us, you're going to want to catch up to the season finale of season one of Outcast.
Yes, absolutely. And once we eventually get to season two of Steven Universe, I'll try to... I'm not going to keep notes on every episode, but I'll try to keep a little bit more fluid notes so we don't jump around as much. But I'm also very excited to finish off Outcast.
Nice. Yeah, this show does... I think it's all right to jump around because this show kind of jumps around and suddenly it's an episode about nothing at all. So it seems like a natural way to do it. But yeah, so until next time, search for Shows What You Know on iTunes. Slang is a review. You can also go to showswhatyouknow.com for television news and all the latest podcasts. If you want to get more from Jim, if you want to hear that boozy commentary, you need to look up Jim and Them. Very good podcast.
Thank you.
Not at all. And if, against all odds, you want more from me, check out awesomepedia.org for all my projects and various podcasts, other nonsense. And that is it.
Well, real quick, if you have your own thoughts on Fusion or Steven Universe, hit us up at showswhatyouknowshow@gmail.com.
That's a good point. Usually we ask for that, and then by the time anyone has had a chance to send it in, we're already done talking about it. But if you do have opinions on Steven Universe, that would be just perfect, because we'll be talking about that not next week, but in a while, so we'll have time to... Yeah, you have time to write it, we'll have time to read it, and get your feedback on the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time.
See ya.